T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Friday Eve, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome to be here with you. A loaded second hour of the show for you. Here is what is coming up. There is something that has to do with Clemson that the Carolina Panthers definitively should not do. That's coming up in the very next segment. At 4:40, Adam Spolane, Houston Astros reporter, was on scene. The eyes of the baseball world were on Astros spring training today as those guys and the ownership had to face the music. What was the tenor like? How did the Astros come off? And then, listener Danny has won the right to become a sports radio show host. He won the contest last night. We had an impromptu contest. You see, Jameis Winston led the NFL in interceptions last year with 30. He had LASIK surgery yesterday. You can imagine the jokes. We had a contest, a listener contest yesterday. Who could come up with the best Jameis Winston 30 interceptions LASIK surgery joke? Danny won. Danny hosts 4:55. 4 to 5 minutes of Danny hosting his own radio show coming up at 4:55 today. As for right now, it is time to do a little ditty we call Lonzo's Fight Club. Lonzo's Fight Club.
The open won't play.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I mean, you can fill while I fix it, or I can
Lonzo's Fight Club comes right now. Mark is filibustering very, very poorly. So look, there's a lot of good fights coming up, and we're going to be all over them. And I think it's really interesting when you consider where the fight game has been and how we were talking about, man, we wanted to see Mayweather-Pacquiao for so long, and there weren't other fighters that could grasp, that could contain our interest or garner our interest, so on and so forth. And I really think that's been a big part of the fight game's resurgence, right? Because now, you consider the number of fighters that we're willing to see and that we want to see now and that we're excited to see. You know, look, the boxing game, the median salary of a boxer is $22,000 a year. You know, it's we talk about in media, the top 10% of sports media members make 90% of the money. It's even worse in boxing. Floyd Mayweather makes all the money. A lot of people make nothing. But now we're starting to develop stars in this sport again. And I think the reason why, Lonzo, that Fury and Wilder is so popular is because these guys look like cartoon characters. Like, Fury has the look of Andre the Giant to him, doesn't he? Or he looks like a Rocky movie character. And then Deontay Wilder just looks like an American badass.
You know, it's funny you should say this because you probably don't realize how big these guys really are. One of them is 6'7", and in the neighborhood of 220 pounds. So here's what an article I read compared Wilder to Kawhi Leonard. He has the same build as Kawhi Leonard. So imagine Kawhi Leonard fighting LeBron James, because that's what Fury's size is. You know how big and bulky that LeBron James is. The problem is with Fury is that recently he got into a fight where he got cut open, and any other venue probably would have stopped the fight. It was nasty. You could see into his skull. I mean, it was so bad. And we bought that fight, and we're watching, and we're just waiting because, I got sucked into...
What was the cause of the cut?
He got punched. This was a boxing match. He got punched.
But to slice that way, there has to be...
Well, there's abrasions that go along with that, too. That's why they put the Vaseline on your face,
so
to stop abrasions.
Off. Well, it makes the gloves slide off you.
Yeah, so, and there could have been a thumb involved. I don't remember exactly what it was, but the cut was so bad that they tried to stop it a couple times. In between rounds, each time the announcers thought they were going to stop the fight, The round would end, and then the cut man, as they call him, the best cut man in the business, was able to stop the blood each time. And Fury went on to win that fight. And he sucked me in by just his story. I mean, great story. Thought about killing himself. Got really, really heavy, which I relate to. And then he got he found God, basically, and he got his life under control. He lost a lot of weight. He got back into doing what he wanted to do. And he also he has my heart a little bit because he crossed over into the WWE era last year for a couple matches and didn't look too bad for a boxer. And people were asking him, why would you do that with the Wilder fight coming up? And he's like, because I have the opportunity. He grew up a wrestling fan and had a chance to do it. And his fame is so big right now. You know you are a big name if McMahon and those guys go after you and pay you a ton of money just to be in the ring for a couple matches. And the thing is, while I was preparing today, I watched a couple of the fight conferences. The problem with these guys is they don't really talk stuff to each other. I mean, they really don't. They say what they're going to do, and, you know, there's no bad blood. There's no
you
calling mean, each other's
names.
When you
say talking stuff, you mean talking spit, right?
Talking
they don't talk
smack.
Spit to each other. Yeah.
So however you want to say it, they do not do that to each other. And I'm curious, how does that affect the build up to the fight when those guys aren't going at each other? You used to like what Conor McGregor does, you know, calling them names, getting up in their face during the weigh-ins, all that kind of stuff. The pre-fight thing I saw, they were both sitting in high back chairs, looked really comfortable, having a conversation, you know, and did not get in each other's face. And do you think you need that to sell a fight? Do you think you need that? Because I think you'd need some conflict. And they both are very, very confident and looking at each other like, yeah, I'm going to beat you. Yeah, I'm going to beat you. It's just like when you and I are calm, which is very fleeting.
Yes,
it is. But what you're talking about earlier about the MMA and boxing being equal and boxing, I thought boxing would fade too, but these two heavyweights, the heavyweights are what save boxing every time. People don't care as much about the lightweights, even though the science is better. The boxing is better in a lot of cases. It's so much faster. They're in so much better shape usually. But people care about the heavyweights. When you think of boxing, you think of Muhammad Ali. You think of Tyson. You think of Lennox Lewis. You think of those guys. You don't think of, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, guys like that. The smaller weights, you think of the bigger weights. And in order for boxing to stay relevant, you've got to have a fight like this. And their first match ended up in a draw. And Wilder knocked Fury down. Fury got back up. And I also watched some things where Wilder is saying, hey, I know how he boxes now. I know what I'm going to do. And they both have a ton of knockouts.
In terms of the X's and O's of the fight, what does each fighter have to do to come out with a victory? I know in the last fight, many felt like Wilder should have won. Right, and many were upset that there was a split decision draw. I was watching a little bit of that the other night. They replayed it on one of the. They may have replayed it on the Ocho the other night on ESPN Ocho. I was checking it out. But what does each guy have to do? Like, what's the game plan for each side?
Well, the thing is, Tyson Fury needs to, believe it or not, he's pretty good at bobbing and weaving and getting out of the way of punches. And Wilder he's a knockout king. That's what he does. He has knocked a ton of people out. Wilder is 42-0-1. Fury is 29-0-1. 42-0-1. You got to be pretty good unless you're Mayweather.
They're the only blemish on each other's record.
They are.
So to speak.
They definitely are.
If a draw is a blemish.
And I had it written down here about the knockouts. The majority of Wilder's are knockouts. And see, that's the problem. If you're a knockout guy, you're not used to going the distance. But they went the distance the last time. They've got to be prepared for it to happen again. If it goes the distance again, I think Fury wins it. Because Fury has had longer boxing bouts where he's went the entire way. And Wilder lately has just been knocking everybody out. So if Fury can stay out of the way of the hard punches of Wilder and get in his own, I think he's got a chance to win the decision. I'm not sure that Fury can knock Wilder out. We know that Wilder can knock just about anybody out. So it should be a good match. Now the question is, it's $79.99. Do you buy something like that?
What?
Yes. Do you buy something like that?
What? They now cost more than a video game.
They do. They do. But so
and by the way, I don't necessarily agree. I think sometimes all the trash talk, like the way that Conor McGregor just shreds anyone he fights against with his words. You know, like when the Steelers face the Ravens, you don't need trash talk. The matchup stands on its own. When you need trash talk, it makes me think that the matchup itself isn't intriguing, right? The matchup itself doesn't stand alone. These two guys single-handedly have brought the fight game back, have brought the heavyweight division back. If you don't have a heavyweight division, you know, boxing isn't on the marquee. Now you have two very, very legitimate heavyweight fighters. And look, it's going to get me back into it, Lonzo.
See, really? I disagree with you. I think you need the conflict. I think it builds because you see these sound bites all over the place. You get these people that don't normally watch it go, whoa, what's this about? And then they start to research it a little bit and it's like, man, these people don't like each other. I want to see what they do to each other. I think you need that kind of stuff. It's a difference to me. Let me compare it in radio terms between talk radio and NPR. NPR is nice and calm and we're
not that way?
Fish.
You don't feel that way about us?
We are absolutely not that way. I don't think there's any show on this station that's like that. I turn away from that stuff. People like a little bit of conflict, and I think that's it's hurting them that they're so civil to each other. I really do. Now the question is, am I going to buy this? I don't know. Because we just bought a pay-per-view last week.
And you got like 10 seconds of action out of it.
No, this is a different. Last week, we bought the UFC pay-per-view because Jon Jones was fighting Reyes on it. And I was in the middle of doing my Saturday show and I get a text from my wife saying, hey, do you want to buy this? And I'm like, yeah, because she's into it. Like, yeah, let's go ahead and buy it because we don't like Jon Jones. So we bought it. We paid the full price to see this because we wanted him to lose. And that's what I'm saying. You need a good guy. You need a bad guy. When they're both good guys, it's like, yeah, I want to see this. But at the same time, you know, I don't know who to root for. So if you're a person who classically goes for the good guy, then you got a guy. If you're a guy who goes for the guy who talks stuff, then you got a guy. But in this case, neither one of them does that, at least not to each other.
That is your Fight Club segment for the day. Wilder and Fury, number 2, coming your way. All right, coming up next, there's a Clemson component to this, and it's something the Carolina Panthers should absolutely under no circumstances consider. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Thrilled to be here with you on a Friday Eve edition of the show. By the way, Megan Schiller tweets that the University of Pittsburgh announces they will obtain samples of the coronavirus and work to develop a vaccine, to which Michael Stathakis says USC could at least help it to underperform and make you mildly sick for 4 to 8 days. 4 and 8 days. Michael Stathakis chiming in on all of the above. We're going to be joined by John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. In the very next segment, Adam Spolane, Houston Astros reporter, the eyes of the baseball world, were on the Houston Astros today, how did they come off? How did the Astros come off? Did they save any face? Did they look worse for the wear after all of this? He joins us in the next segment at 4:40. Open lines for you at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. You know, I asked yesterday, Lonzo, on these airwaves, I said, look, South Carolina fans say Clemson is a one-sport school. What are some things Clemson fans say about South Carolina? Replies constitute consent for on-air use. And the thing blew up. 11,000 times the tweet was seen. A ton of responses on this. One that was pretty popular is, oh, they say we're a one-sport school, says Clemson. Well, they're a no-sport school. That was, and then South Carolina fired back with the following: Clemson, where you can be divorced and still be related. Eddie Dixon says they have more equestrian titles, if that is a thing. So the rivalry kind of went back and forth, and it was interesting and it was entertaining. I was feeling yesterday, I was watching this, and I was saying to myself, which of these criticisms are rooted in truth? You know, which of these criticisms have a semblance of truth to them? Lonzo, when I say to you that, you know, the knock on Clemson from South Carolina is that they're a one-sport school, do you subscribe to that? Do you feel like that's a legitimate criticism of Clemson?
In the big name sports, the first sports that you think of football, you think of basketball, you think of baseball, and I would say yes. So yes.
It's basketball season, Mark. They're too busy pulling for Duke to come up with answers. So Lonzo feels like Clemson is a one-sport school. We continue to hear from Gamecocks fans that they're a no-sport school. Here's another response. Danny Cordray, South Carolina will never have success in football ever. Nothing more needs to be said because it's really all they care about, so no need to poke fun at their academics or simply being located in Columbia.
What is success, by the way? What is success?
Different things to different
people. Is success
a
winning season or a success winning your division and winning the national championship? If they mean national championship, then there's only been a few teams that have been successful. Everybody else is horrible.
Success is defined by you and your goals, Lonzo. You always hear me say a B grade on a report card is met with a spanking in some households. It's met with a party in others.
By the way, in some households, it can be done with separate kids. I got in trouble when I got bad grades. My sister did not. Well, I got in trouble for B's. My sister did not get in trouble for C's.
I feel like there was a daddy's girl component to my house as well. You know, like my sister literally could do no wrong for a period of time in her existence, man. So anyway, do you guys believe that the criticisms, you know, if you're a Clemson fan or a South Carolina fan, is when people say Clemson's a one-sport school, is that valid to you? All right. When Clemson fans say at least we don't have to live in the state known as Columbia or the city known as Columbia, is that true? Is Columbia as crappy as Clemson fans make it out to be? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. Gus Zielinski says, I've lived in and around South Carolina all my life. Asheville, Savannah, Clemson, Easley, Augusta, Charleston, and Greensboro. I have literally never heard anyone say, you've got to go to Columbia because of X. You know, I've never heard anybody say that. It's remember when Joakim Noah said he's never heard anyone say they want a vacation to Cleveland? Has anyone ever said, anyone ever heard anybody say, I'm going to go vacation in Cleveland? Is Cleveland cool? That's how Gus Zielinski.
I was living in Ohio then, because I'm from Ohio. I thought it was funny. I really did. I thought there were some people I know who did not think it was funny, though.
Yeah? Is that the case?
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, Columbia, we talked about this yesterday. You saw the nightlife there in and around where we were.
It looked
pretty happening to me.
I was only there for a couple of hours. You know, I go in and out of Columbia under the protection from the Secret Service. And I went in, you know, motorcade to bring me in there, picked up my award, and left Columbia safely.
Yeah, the people who say there are no winners in Colombia, I'm sorry, you're wrong. There were about a year ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we got out of there and went home. But what I saw in the couple hours, I admittedly liked. I liked the campus of South Carolina. You guys know that I feel like that Williams-Brice Stadium is an on-campus stadium. That's an on-campus stadium. It's on the same street as campus. I don't know how anyone says anything other than that. But the other thing that I want to get to, let's see here. A texter says, are there other sports that matter other than football, though, in reality? That's the point that I was going to make. And Lonzo and I did an either or last night at about 6 o'clock. And I said to Lonzo, I said, you know, would you rather be good in 12 sports or great in one? Because that really is the debate between Clemson and South Carolina. And Lonzo said, I'd rather be good in 12 sports. And I said, I'd rather be great in one. I'd rather be great in one. Because you'll never hear an athletic director say the other sports don't matter because his livelihood is dependent upon growing those other sports. But in terms of financially, it really is football and everything else. You know, I mean, you consider the and football buoys the other programs financially, right? Football is the reason why you can have a women's softball team at Clemson. And I'm not sure how many of the women's softball players realize that, but they're able to exist because of the money brought in by football, you know, and that wealth is spread throughout the athletic department the same way that an NFL player spreads the wealth throughout his family and buys mom and dad a house and so on and so forth. That's just how it works. All right, the other thing I want to get to here is a comment from Teddy Bruschi, former New England Patriots linebacker, that I completely and totally disagree with, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts. Here's Teddy.
Do we really want to be that team that struggles and grinds this year to maybe get to 6-10 or 7-9 and then miss the playoffs? Or look long term. You see that kid who's right there in South Carolina and just grind. You got a new head coach like he's talking
install
about.
Install your new system.
He's got to learn about being a head coach in the National Football League. Think long term and get Trevor Lawrence.
No way. No way am I doing that. Listen, folks. You know, so Teddy Bruschi right there is advocating for the Carolina Panthers to tank for Trevor, right? TT, let's just call the plan, right? And I think that is absolutely, positively, criminally insane. There is no way that the Carolina Panthers should tank for Trevor. Number one, you don't know if Trevor's even going to declare. We didn't think Travis Etienne was going to come back to school. You can't predict what Trevor Lawrence is going to do. You can't predict that. The Carolina Panthers aren't even Trevor Lawrence's hometown team. The Atlanta Falcons are. But furthermore, folks, if I just could be honest with you about something, I'm not sure at this stage, and I realize this might be blasphemous to say in this area, I am not so sure that Trevor Lawrence merits the first overall pick in the draft. I'm not sure if he's deserving of that. You know, Trevor Lawrence, in the two playoff games, you want to know what the completion percentage was? 51%. LSU stifled him. Ohio State stifled him for the first half. And I love the kid's ability. I really do. I mean, he's got the complete skill set. There's no doubt about that, man. I mean, he's got the rifle arm. He looks like Zeus. He's got the hair. He's got the mobility. He's got everything. But why did we see a step back from Trevor last year for the first half of the season? And Trevor wasn't among the finalists for the Heisman Trophy. It wasn't because Dabo pulls him in the third quarter. It was because Dabo wasn't as good as the other guys. Dabo wasn't Justin Fields' equal last year. Wasn't Jalen Hurts equal last year? Wasn't Tua Tagovailoa's equal? Joe Burrow's equal last year? Trevor was a notch below those guys. And so, you know, to me, I am big into the tanking strategy. I am big into that. I was big into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tanking to get Jameis Winston. And I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong. That guy wasn't for the Buccaneers who I thought he would end up being. But if you have a surefire guy, I think Tua without the hip injury would be a surefire guy, right? If you have a surefire guy, I say you go forward with the tanking, right? I mean, it's, you can go ahead with the tanking if you have that surefire guy, but I don't. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I don't view Trevor as surefire at this point. I have big question marks about him. I need to see a lot of development from Trevor between year two and year three. And it's true that Joe Burrow had 3 years of experience on top of Trevor Lawrence. But even if you are the most diehard Clemson fan in existence, wouldn't you be able to easily admit that you could see that difference in the national championship game? Didn't Joe Burrow look like a much better player than Trevor Lawrence? You know, Trevor after the game said he sucked. And I love when a kid will do that. I love when a kid will own up to his mistakes and say, I need to be a lot better. That's the first step toward being better. I personally am a perfectionist. Nobody is harder on themselves than I am. All right? I am a perfectionist. But Trevor, and the fact that he says he sucked, he did. He wasn't great. We don't learn a lot about Trevor Lawrence playing the Boston Colleges and the Syracuses and the Wake Forests of the world. We learn a lot when he goes up against Ohio State, when he goes up against LSU. And folks, if you're honest with yourself, he didn't play great in those games. Against elite competition, against the closest thing you will see to the National Football League, Trevor Lawrence was somewhat mediocre. Was somewhat mediocre. That's it. That's all you can say. Lonzo, I don't know, man. I know you expect me to say they should tank for Trevor, and that's something I might have said a year ago at this time, but I am not convinced that at this point Trevor Lawrence is worthy of the number one pick in the draft.
All right, two things. First of all, tanking I think is stupid because you got to tell players, hey, we don't want you to win. Or are you going to design a play calls to make sure that you don't win the game? Or are you going to do things to make sure that the players don't get a chance to win?
You bench the players.
Yeah. Sorry. That's just dumb. These guys are paid to play. They want to go out and win. They don't want to go out and lose. Do you want to go out and lose at anything?
Lonzo, sometimes if you need a quarterback and you've got a difference maker, sometimes you can win for 2 months or you can lose for 2 months and then you're set at quarterback for the next 10 years.
I get
it. But you got to be sure about the guy.
But if my coach tells me, hey, don't put your all into it. I want to go to a different team. I don't want to play for that guy. I just don't. So I think teams are bad sometimes. And do I think that the coaches and those guys want them to lose? I just don't see people collectively going, okay, we're going to lose today. Okay, we're going to play just bad enough. All right, it's your turn to mess up to make sure that we lose the game.
I just think they bring in the third string. I think they bring in the fourth string.
But they don't do that in the NFL.
Then they coach up the third string. I've seen it happen.
And the other thing as far as Trevor Lawrence goes, I think you're being a little hard on him because – He had a drop-off. Maybe he listened to his publicity. Everyone said he was a football god, and maybe he believed it for a while. I think it was a great learning experience for him, and I think if he gets out of his own head, I think he will come back better this year than he was last year.
You know, I think he's got all the potential. But that potential, at this point, we saw in the college football playoff, is largely unrealized. You know, if Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick in the draft, he's got to be the Heisman Trophy winner. He's got to be one or two in the Heisman Trophy voting. He's got to be able to put up a monster year. You know, but if I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, I'm not overly geeked about the idea of tanking for Trevor right now. You know, that I'm not convinced that Trevor is better than Justin Herbert, who's in the draft. I'm not convinced that he's better than Tua Tagovailoa, hip or not, who's in the draft. I've already seen that he's not better than Joe Burrow, who the Bengals are going to get with the first overall pick. And I'm not trying to hate on Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying he's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go. Dennis Wofford says, you just made a lot of Clemson fans big mad by being honest about Trevor Lawrence. Folks, sometimes the truth hurts. You know, I'm just being truthful with you. You know, I look, you want to assume he's going to be the number one pick? He's got to earn that this year. He didn't earn it last year. You know, Justin Ross, his performance last year, disappointing. Trevor Lawrence, his performance last year, mildly disappointing. He's got to improve. He's got to get better. And I don't think any of us should assume he's the number one pick in the draft. And I sure as heck wouldn't tank for him at this particular point. And I don't think that's Trevor Lawrence hate. I think that's Trevor Lawrence honesty. All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Spolane, who was at Houston Astros spring training today. What was the temperature of the room like? Adam Spolane joins us next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Of course, you notice after that question, they wrap up. That's how PR works, man, at big league teams. You know, when one person in the media, and this has actually happened to me before, I've been the guy that asks the coach the question that irritates the coach, and then the PR person immediately ends
the media session.
Wait.
You asked something that irritated someone?
I know, this is shocking to you. You know, one time Stan Van Gundy got really mad at me in Houston because he wasn't playing J.J. Redick and the team couldn't shoot threes. And I'm like, man, you got the best three-point shooter in the history of college basketball. Can't get off the bench. What's going on? He got irritated with me. Then what happens is the PR person shuts down the press conference, and then the rest of the media members turn around and roll their eyes at you because you're the reason they don't get to ask the coach any more questions.
Who are you more afraid of, the rest of the media or Stan? Because he looks like he might be...
I didn't like pissing Stan off. Okay. I didn't mind about the rest of the media at all. Joining us right now is somebody who is a colleague of mine at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We've hosted together, had a lot of fun doing that, and now he also serves as a host and an Astros reporter down in West Palm Beach covering the Astros spring training circus today is Adam Spolane. Is that a good description for what you saw today, Adam? Was it a circus?
Circus is a pretty solid description. There were a lot of people here. There's a lot going on, that's for sure. This is not a normal spring training day, I guess you could say, that's for sure.
Yeah, it didn't look like that from the outside looking in, Adam. So Adam, what can you bring us into the temperature of the room there? What did you glean? What was the mood? What was the attitude that you witnessed?
There was a lot of regret amongst the players. There's remorse amongst the players, but there wasn't a whole lot of getting into details about what happened or why didn't they stop this scheme when they could have. That was a question posed to just about everybody. You know, the question is, well, AJ Hinch, he broke two monitors, and that was kind of a message that you should stop. Why didn't you stop at that point? And nobody really wanted to answer that question. So they are remorseful about it now, but they aren't getting into why they did it at the time. It was very interesting, to say the least. And this is really the first time that we've heard from any of the players about this, going back to the World Series and when this whole report came out in November, and then when the commissioner released his report last month.
Who, in terms of what the player said, what player handed himself the best and what player left a lot to be desired in their comments and why, Adam?
For me, so I wasn't in there for Carlos Correa, but from what I've heard, Carlos Correa handled himself very well. I did not hear Alex Bregman or Jose Altuve when they actually answered questions. I thought their statements were fine. They probably could have done without the statements. I thought that Lance McCullers handled himself pretty well. You could tell he was getting pretty emotional when talking about it. I did not think Justin Verlander handled himself very well. I thought that he was trying to dodge a lot of stuff. And I thought George Springer was fine. It's hard to come out looking good in this type of a situation. They all cheated. They all tried to get away with it. And at the end of the day, they did not. But I think worst of all, I thought the owner, Jim Crane, looked maybe worse than everybody. Just with that exchange that you played right out of the break, that wasn't good. And he just came off very defensive. And I actually thought that Jim Crane had handled this pretty well, going back to firing A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow immediately. I thought the way that he handled the managerial search was well done. And the same thing with the GM. And then all of a sudden today, he took a few steps backwards.
Adam Spolin joining us, Astros reporter from Houston, Texas, on the circus surrounding Astros spring training in West Palm Beach. You go back a few years, 10 years or so, Adam, when Plexico Burress took the bullet literally for a new gun law in the state of New York. He was the high-profile case that they made an example of him. Do you get the sense that the Astros are taking the bullet for this fairly? Or is this a situation where pretty much just like steroids, everybody was doing it and they've got to make an example out of somebody? I've seen the latter, for example, you know, some media colleagues we know in Houston continuing to harp on the fact that this is something the whole league was doing, so why are we the only ones getting punished for it? Is that a sense you pick up as a reporter or no?
No, you certainly hear that, and obviously from the circles that I run, you hear that a lot. But the Red Sox are about to get hit. They're going to get hit eventually whenever MLB releases its report. But the problem that the Astros have is that a player came out on the record and said that the Astros were doing this, and nobody has been willing to come out on the record against any of these other teams. Now, MLB, I guess, could do some investigating and try to uncover something, but you've got to actually have a player willing to go on the record and say these things. And players were obviously willing to come out against the Astros because somebody already did. So there's not a whole lot MLB can do. They can't force anyone to testify. This isn't Congress or anything like that. This isn't the FBI. So are they being unfairly picked on, I guess you could say? Maybe, but that's what happens when a player flips. I mean, nobody's flipped on anyone else. If somebody flips on the Dodgers, then MLB will investigate the Dodgers. But until that happens, there's not a whole lot MLB can do.
Adam, why are the players, in fact, not being punished here? I get it's a can of worms, man. When does it stop? You open this can of worms. How many players were involved? It's just, you know, for a manager that obviously didn't want this to be going on to lose his job, and then for the guilt that the players must feel for the manager that they lost their job, I just, you know, if you've got a 50-game suspension for steroids, I don't know how the players escape punishment for this.
I think the reasoning, and I think there are a couple reasons for the players escaping punishment. First of all, I think the players were said, hey, if you cooperate with the investigation, we'll give you immunity. So I think that's a big reason. I think they wanted cooperation. MLB wanted cooperation from players. They weren't going to get it unless they told the players that you won't get punished if you talk to us. The other thing is the union. And I don't think MLB wants a union fight right now. They've got a CBA that's coming up very shortly, so I don't think they want to add that to the list. And you mentioned steroids and drug testing. That was collectively bargained. MLB and the players' union collectively bargained that 50-game suspension for steroids. They have not bargained any sort of a suspension for stealing signs or for cheating. That might be something that could happen somewhere down the road, but at this point, it hasn't.
You know, Adam, when you hear the video, when you watch the video, you know, it's just, when you know you're witnessing cheating, it seems so obvious. You know, you hear, like, it sounds like the old Indians fan drum banging in the background when you're watching the videos. How was nobody up to this? It seemed like the opposing teams knew what the Astros were doing. You're seeing pitchers call the catchers, you know, from home plate to switch up their signs and so on and so forth. I just can't believe that this was able to be sustained for as long as it was. Does that puzzle you?
Not really. I think that players knew about it and players suspected stuff, but nobody was going to go out and say it in the media and go that far. I think that teams did complain to Major League Baseball that the Astros might have been doing something, but I don't know if you can just connect the dots by hearing trash cans banging, if you know what I mean. I just think that you're going, that there's a lot of different steps that go into this, and I'll be honest, I wouldn't have suspected anything like this, anything to this degree. Now we all know that the Astros like to steal signs, and everybody likes to do that from second base. That's no different. But I don't think anybody could have anticipated just to the extent that they were willing to go in order to gain an advantage.
Adam Spolin covering the Astro Circus from West Palm Beach in spring training. My former colleague. Good to catch up with you, bud. Thank you so much.
Sure thing, Mark.
All right. Adam Spolin, West Palm Beach, former colleague of mine in Houston, Texas. It was interesting. The program director, so I work for Entercom now here at ESPN Upstate. The station I was at in Houston was also Entercom, so the program director in Houston sent out an email to everyone in the company today saying, hey, I've got these guys at spring training, and I immediately noticed Adam's name there, have worked with him, and very grateful that he joined us on the show today. So Adam mentioned Carlos Correa actually fared very, very well. We will share Alex Correa's thoughts when we come back right here on ESPN Upstate. So the Astros are under fire for the cheating scandal. They said Carlos Correa, Astros shortstop, handled himself the best and accepted accountability for all this nonsense. Let's listen. I'll hear it live with you for the first time. Carlos Correa at Astros spring training having to face the music.
To use wearable devices or buzzers?
No. No. That's a lie. Nobody wore buzzers. Nobody wore devices. The story should be killed already because we know for sure, for a fact, 100% as a team. And I can tell you this, because stories keep coming out. And if I'm lying here, I will lose credibility if something like that comes out. And that's not what I want to do. You guys know me. I want to speak the truth every time I'm talking to you guys. And, you know, it's just straight up false. Nobody wore anything. 2018, nothing. 2019, nothing. 2017, nobody wore devices either. It was just, you know, what was out on the report. When people talk about 2018, we started the season doing something. We didn't do anything. We didn't, no trash can. There was no center field camera. There was nothing. Maybe that code breaker, but that had nothing to do with the players. So I don't know when that stopped or anything. But yeah, 2018, nothing. 2019, nothing. Just straight up talented players going out there on the field, winning ball games, and showing their talents.
Coach, what did it take?
You know what's interesting about that? Carlos Correa said, look, 2018, 2019, the players weren't involved in this. Here's the problem. When did they win the World Series? 2017. When the players were involved in this, they won the World Series. According to Carlos Correa, when they were not involved in this, they did not win the World Series. And then for Jim Crane to step up to the mic and say, look, I don't think this had an impact on the results on the field. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something. This is a tainted title. This is a tainted title, period. Just ask Bob Costas.
Tainted. Tainted. And everybody will make whatever judgments. You know, just like Barry Bonds' single season and career home run records are tainted, as are the gargantuan numbers of Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and whomever. And you don't need an official asterisk or expunging of a championship or a record for knowledgeable fans to make their own judgment.
The Top 5 at 5 is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.